And that is Hail to the Lord's Anointed. It just so happens to be the hymn that is selected for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. And here on Law and Gospel, I'm Tom Baker. And with me, my good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith.
Good morning, Tom. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very good. Have you ever used this hymn much?
Not a whole lot. You know, when you hear it begin, it sounds... praise, it sounds like praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Yes.
But, of course, a different hymn.
Yes, it's Leonard Schroeter was the guy who wrote the tune. But James Montgomery, this is based on Psalm 72. Yes. And it originally was in eight stanzas, and it was written for a Christmas service on April 4th, 1822, Montgomery was addressing a missionary conference, and the lights went out during his speech, believe it or not, until one of the chairmen said, "There is still light within," and then he ended his address with, "Hail to the Lord's anointed, as the lighting was restored." And Dr. Adam Clark, chairman of the meeting, was so impressed that he asked Montgomery for a copy of the hymn. And here's what he said. "I need not tell the intelligent reader that Montgomery has seized the spirit and exhibited some of the principal beauties of the Hebrew bard." What's the word bard?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Poet.
Oh, poet.
He's the one who wrote Psalm 72. Now, this is really quite different. There's a similar hymn based on Psalm 72 by Isaac Watts.
Uh-huh.
But Isaac Watts really follows the scripture closely. Montgomery here takes the thoughts of the psalm and then updates them for his day. Do you know anybody else who did that?
Martin Luther?
Yes.
Is that right? Well, I read your lips.
Oh. We're on the radio. You're not supposed to say something. I was just trying to help you. You read my
lips. Reminds me of,
like a mighty fortress.
Silent Night was, that was composed, or at least it came about as a result of what, the organ was out?
Yeah, something, yes.
Yeah, and so they used a guitar.
It's kind of nice to know the background of some of these. But
sure.
The big difference between Calvin and Martin Luther in the writing of hymns, Calvin, as I understand it, would only use hymns right from the Psalms.
Right. That's right.
And he wouldn't change the words.
Yeah, he was very, very strict about,
Luther brought in all kinds of things.
Sure.
Like, the Bible doesn't say a mighty fortress. It says a mighty bulwark, Psalm 46. Uh-huh. If you take a look at that, that isn't a direct quote of the psalm, but the thinking is there. In fact, I look at it kind of like we do sermons. We update them.
Uh-huh.
For example, this last week, I already mentioned this yesterday a little bit. It was Paul saying, we can eat meat offered to idols, but if you have a weak Christian who hasn't quite understood that,
right,
then don't offend them.
That's right. You don't want them to stumble, the weaker brother.
So I started off my sermon, I always do with a question.
I'd be curious to know how you applied that to,
very good,
to today.
I said, how many of you would refuse to eat a grapefruit, even though it's healthy for you and enjoy it? Would any of you refuse to eat it?
Well, there's some medications that clash with grapefruit. You know that. You
that
don't
was
dare.
My point.
Well, see, I mean, I
but
stole,
nobody
I stole,
thought
I stole
of
your
that.
Thunder.
No, you didn't. I was. Nobody put their hand
that
up.
That is true, though. That you can, there's some medications you don't dare eat grapefruit with it. So that was your point. That was your main point of the sermon that day. Wow.
Nobody put their hand up. And then I mentioned that if you had a diabetic, it's diabetic medicine,
right,
you wouldn't say at the end of the meal with him, "Have I got a surprise for you? Grapefruit ice cream. My wife spent hours making it." And I said, there would
grapefruit
be an example.
Grapefruit ice cream.
Oh, yeah. I also used my mother. Oh, man. She was really allergic to secondhand smoke.
Really?
Oh, my. In fact, I think
it's not good for you.
in the area where she lived, she was principal for getting out of restaurants and everything. But anyway, what happened was she was the secretary to the president of the university there. And he smoked cigars.
Oh.
And she would have to sit at the end of the table at cabinet meetings and things like that because it just was sickening to her.
Right.
She asked me, what could I do about this? And I said, oh, I have a good suggestion. What you do, you go to a farmer who has cattle, and you have him fashion a cigar-looking thing that as soon as you light it, it smells like manure. And you take it into the meeting. And when the president lights up, you light up yours. You don't have to smoke it. You just put it in the ashtray. And I guarantee you, within 2 minutes, people ask her to take it out. And she'll say, well, then the president should take out his. She never followed up with me on that, but that's what I would have done.
I'm glad for her she did not take your advice.
No, she was really a bold woman, I tell you. Stanza one.
Okay. Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule inequity.
Well, David had a son with Bathsheba. He died. Then he had another son, Solomon.
Solomon.
So is that the greater son?
No, the greater son, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is son of David.
How does that work?
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son.
He never really.
It should be superlative, not just comparative. Should
yes.
be the greatest son.
Great David. Well, it's comparing
don't you think
it to
that's,
great
that's
David.
Talking about Christ, of course. Who else would it be talking about? Great David's greater son. That's Christ.
But wouldn't you agree that Jesus is greater than David?
Absolutely.
So that's okay. He didn't have to be greatest.
Well, he is the greatest.
Explain how the Bible talks about Jesus being the son of David when they were centuries apart.
Well, he's a descendant.
Ah, descendant.
He's a descendant.
In that sense.
Right.
Yes. That's good.
He's the branch off the David's father was Jesse.
Yeah. In fact, didn't Jesus have an argument about being the son of David and he lived before David?
Right.
The Pharisees were
That's
all
right.
upset over that.
Before, he said, before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
And they took up stones to throw at him.
Because the I am.
That's the same word as, same name as God.
That's
used.
The way he did that. Ego Emi is the name of Yahweh from
right.
Exodus chapter 3. So, hail to the Lord's anointed. If somebody asks, what does the word hail mean? What would be a synonym?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Hail.
If somebody's coming in and they hail them, maybe a soldier returning from army, they're honoring him. They're praising
right,
him.
Right, okay.
I would say praise.
Praise.
Yeah, praise to the Lord's anointed. Hail. The way they did that, see, you'd have to update that. Because when I walk into the church, they don't put palm leaves in front of me.
No.
No. Do they in front of you?
No.
No. But what do you do at the end of the service a lot of times? You shake hands.
Shake hands
yeah.
as they go out, right?
That's right.
Greet them.
That's right. Although I'm tending not to do that so much.
With the flu season?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, people are concerned about that.
Yeah, one lady.
So you're not greeting now with the flu season?
Oh, yeah, but not. It depends who the person is. The lady came by and she said, looked at me and said, I can't shake your hand. I'm not feeling well.
Uh-huh.
And I said, then what are you talking to me for? All that breath. Oh, oh.
Well, that was a nice greeting.
Yeah, I thought she was doing a nice greeting. Yes. Hail to the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free. Okay, who's the captives?
All of us.
And what do we have to be set free from?
From bondage of sin and death.
Exactly. In the day that you sin, death should be the result.
That's right.
You know, that's only given to two parts of creation.
What, that warning? Or
yeah,
that,
right.
That statement? Well, Adam and Eve.
And what's the second part? Angels.
Angels were told that same thing?
Well, that's
they
why
weren't
they're...
Well, now the evil angels are.
Well, of course.
But they're not freed.
That's true. But they're still under that curse.
Yeah.
Lions are not. A lion can eat a human being, which is a sin, because it's against the will of God from before. But the lion is not sent to hell.
Okay. You're talking about animals in general, or?
Most of creation. Mm-hmm. The only two parts of creation are angels and human beings that comes out against.
Uh-huh.
So, it's
well, Paul talks about all creation groaning and travailing to be released from this.
Well, because they are trapped also.
Right.
Peter Krause's book, Are Animals in Heaven?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Does a real good job in showing that they weren't under the curse, and also creation is going to be restored.
Right. And the lion will lie down with the lamb.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
Eden restored.
Yeah. Going to be interesting. I'll read stanza 2. He comes with rescue speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy and bid the weak be strong, to give them songs for sighing, their darkness turned to light, whose souls condemned and dying were precious in his sight. Got two questions for you.
Okay.
He comes with rescue speedy. It took 6,000 years.
Yes.
That's not speedy, is it? What does it mean, speedy? Why would that word be put in there?
He comes with rescue speedy.
Yeah.
To those who suffer wrong.
Unfortunately.
He comes with rescue speedy.
Yeah. I don't have the German.
I'm not even sure about the grammar there. Shouldn't it be speedily?
Well, that might be making an adverb. But speedy.
Rescue speedy.
Yeah, you'll see somebody running a race. Boy, look at how speedy he is. You don't see... Look how speedily he is, do you? I don't know.
Well, what's your answer? What's your answer for that? Why does he say speedy?
If you take a look at the next part, he's coming speedy to those who suffer wrong to help the poor and needy. Remember last week, he healed the mother-in-law, and all of a sudden everybody was knocking on the door.
That's right.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And he helped out there.
Yeah.
So he doesn't wait around. Remember, call upon me in the day of trouble, and
yeah.
I will.
Or even better than that, before they call, I will answer.
Yes, I think that's what the speedy
yeah.
here means.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see what the original was, but that's how. He's here to help the poor and needy. Now, the next question, what does it mean? To give them songs for sighing.
I think that's good.
What does
that's
it mean?
Good. Oh, when you sigh, you're oppressed, or you're worried about something, or you're under great anxiety, or you're under great pressure. And instead of those sighs, you have songs of rejoicing. I understand what he's saying there.
See, I took it to mean that there are songs filled with sighing to the Lord. Like when we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal, isn't that a sign?
No, I think of sighing. Sighing is usually thought of as, I think, kind of negative.
Yeah, that's what
you
I'm
know,
saying.
I mean, it can be a sign of relief. Oh, it can be that. But usually a sigh is,
Well,
and instead of a sigh, he gives us songs.
And what's the purpose of it? That's the next line.
And bid the weak be strong.
No. Next line.
Oh, their darkness turned to light.
Yeah.
See, there you are. Their darkness, sighing in darkness, turned to light.
Hymns should be interpreted the same way the Bible is, context.
Right, of course.
So if you're wondering, what does he mean by this? Looking at the context sometimes can help you.
Sure.
Whose souls condemned and dying were precious in his sight. That's really interesting, because they're condemned because they're spitting in the face of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he still considers
still
them precious
yeah.
in his sight.
While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us.
I am so sick and tired in this culture of... I like watching these channels. It's called ID, where there's real true murders that occurred. And people all say, well, she was such a loving woman. And the scene opens up with her doing all kinds of sexual immorality. That's not love. That's lust.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand why the family wants to say she was a lovely woman and this kind of thing. But no, she wasn't. And therefore, a lot of times, you kind of get what you deserve. According to Romans 1, remember it talks about if you do these kind of things, then God will bring anguish on you and this sort of thing.
Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Of course, we're all, you know, apart from Christ, we're all deserving. We're not deserving of any.
Yeah, the only thing that saves us is the Holy Spirit creates within us faith that leads to repentance.
Right.
And so that contrition and love of Jesus overcomes that sin from God's point of view. Verse 3.
He shall come down like showers upon the fruitful earth, love, joy, and hope like flowers spring in his path to birth. Before him on the mountains shall peace the herald go, and righteousness in fountains from hill to valley flow.
See, those are some metaphors that are not specifically in Psalm 72, but Montgomery says that would be good for our day because it helps people to understand. They love when, like in California, I still think they're going through a dry spell. And so when it's raining, they love the showers coming because they know it might lead to a fruitful earth.
Right. Well, I remember living out, and I was out in San Diego during my year of vicarage, and I remember driving out in the desert.
Yeah.
Late winter. And I'll tell you, you just can't believe how desert can blossom. I guess I think it was about March or February where you'd go out the desert, and it was just blossoming.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
With weeds or what?
Well, wildflowers and cactus, blossoms, and unbelievable.
Where did the water come from?
Well,
was it snowing? Or?
I guess, rainy season of the winter.
Yeah.
But, of course, you go out there in the summer, it's desolate then.
No, that's for sure. Yeah. I used to think if I died, would I rather die because it was too hot or too cold? I used to think too cold. But now these days, you go out there and you walk, you don't have covering on your head. Boy, it can freeze.
You're saying you'd rather die of cold or of heat?
Yeah, I used to say of cold, but now I'm not so sure.
I don't know.
In the heat of the summer where you don't have anything
when
to
you
drink?
Die, when you die of cold, when you freeze to death, you just kind of go to sleep.
Really?
That's what I've heard.
No,
yes.
I haven't tried that yet. All right. Stanza 4.
Kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring. All nations shall adore him. His praise all people sing. To him shall prayer unceasing and daily vows ascend. His kingdom still increasing, a kingdom without end.
Why do daily vows need to ascend? What does that mean?
And daily vows ascend. Well, of course, to him shall prayer, we pray unceasing.
So that's very good. You're looking at the context that
a
daily vow would be a prayer.
Right.
Yeah. And in your prayers, you're always either thanking God or asking him for something, if it be his will.
Right.
And he still becomes the focus of the prayer because he's the only one that can answer this.
Right.
Yeah, I made that point recently when we do a baptism. Like, for instance, Jesus would heal all these people. And then he said, yesterday I was talking about, he said, I'm not going to heal anyone right now. I got to go preach the gospel. That's what I came for.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do we pastors just preach or do we do miracles too? And I said, actually, we do miracles. One of them is infant baptism.
Right.
And the other one is?
Well, the Lord's Supper.
Exactly.
God is doing it, not
well,
us.
Well, no. When the disciples did miracles, God was doing it, but they were still doing miracles.
Right. I just don't want the people to think that we're miracle workers necessarily.
Why not? Our salary would go up. You're actually right. Remember?
It's all by God's power.
By his authority.
Right, that's right.
Not by our power. And so we have the authority to do things that in reality God is doing. I'll read the last verse. Or every foe victorious, he on his throne shall rest. From age to age more glorious, all blessing and all blessed. The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever. That name to us is love. Now, what I was trying to figure out is why the word love. Now, I'm not saying his word isn't love or that he isn't loving, but what I found is, I guess it rhymes with remove. His covenant remove, mm-hmm. that name to us is love. There's rhyme between the first and third sentence and the second and fourth all the time. But that name to us is love. I guess I could understand that.
Mm-hmm. Except so you kind of prefer a different line?
Yeah. That's not... In fact, I'm trying to think if that is even on that big poster with all the names of Jesus on it. I don't think the word love appears anywhere.
I think of the song. You know, the kids sing it a lot. His banner over me is love. Remember that? Remember that song?
No.
His banner over me is love.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a children's song.
Yeah. There is no doubt about that. What's this idea about the tide of time shall never his covenant remove? What's the covenant?
His covenant, the tide of time shall never, well, of course, his gospel. Yeah. He's done it all.
That's really important.
Absolutely.
See, there's a difference between Moses and Jesus. Moses' covenant was the law.
Right.
And therefore, we will do all these things, which didn't last long.
No.
Jesus' covenant, as you just said, is the gospel.
I will do it. I will do it all.
That's right. So Moses' covenant is conditional. Jesus' covenant is
unconditional.
Can't you read my lips? Conditional. He has trouble reading
Tom,
lips
just
later in the program.
Sometimes I just don't know where you're going with things. You kind of keep me guessing.
Well, that's the goal of every pastor, I think, in the sermon, is keep them guessing.
Keep them guessing? You think that's the goal? Oh, I want them to have the assurance.
No. I'm talking about, they were guessing, was there ever a time I would refuse to eat grapefruit? They'll never forget that now. They won't have to guess about it. And if somebody asks them, in fact, I bet some of the members went out to their neighbors, would you ever have a time where you don't eat grapefruit? And they said, no. And then they would explain what Paul is talking. We need to update the scripture for our day, the kinds of things. That's why I love the lost sheep. You know what my update of that is to show how ridiculous that parable is?
Go ahead, tell me.
And a farmer had 100 cattle, and one of them got lost, and he went and he found the big cow in a ditch, pulled it out, put it on his shoulders, and carried it home. What farmer carries a cow home through the wilderness? Nobody does. And no farmer in Jesus' day carried a sheep. Because a lamb is one thing, a sheep is something else.
Right.
So that's what I meant, that I like getting people somewhat confused because I like to address their old Adam, what they think is going on, and then bring in the new Adam. So, what do you preach on this Sunday?
I'm still determined. I'm still working on that. Yes.
And what's your services? Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday or Sunday. Saturday at 5 p.m. and then Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
And don't you have a Bible study on Sunday?
Yes, we're going through the Lutheran difference. We're talking about baptism. Yes.
Oh, wow.
The Lutheran difference.
Oh, that's going to be
a big one.
That's
a theme.
That is a real big one. All right, tomorrow on Law and Gospel, Insight Wednesday. God bless.
This time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.